And he's in studio like he always enjoys coming in studio, hanging out with us. Yes, the one, the only, Stephen Silton, sports and business attorney from Colson O'Connor, joining us here in studio here on the Lake Show. Look, I just want to dive right in because we got a couple of segments, and I think we've got some talkers this week. We've got some talkers here. And I wanted to start in the NFL because you were over in London. We're going to get to that trip here in the second segment. But I want to ask you about this situation with Cardinals head coach Jonathan Gannon. All right, so let me set this up. Jonathan Gannon, who is the Arizona Cardinals head coach, he was fined $100,000 for a sideline altercation with running back Amari DeMarcado. So this is what happened. DeMarcado did the dumb move that I don't know why these NFL players continue to do it, even college players. When they're right about to cross the goal line of scoring a touchdown, they drop the ball. Like, that's not even a celebration. It's just super dumb to do. Why do it? Well, he broke open a 72-yard run that was going to be a clear touchdown. And right when he got to the goal line, he dropped the ball. So what happens? They review it. They look at it because all scoring plays get reviewed.
Yep.
It was deemed that it was a touchback. They don't get the touchdown. The opposing team gets the ball on the 20. So, and the Cardinals end up losing the game. But after that,
and they were winning the game by a large margin at that time.
They were winning the game. So this is during the game. This is not post game, but during the game on the sideline, DeMarcado he's bummed out because he made a dumb mistake, right? He's got teammates that are a couple of linemen standing right next to him, trying to calm him down, trying to be like, dude, that was dumb, but just chill out, hang in there. We're going to lock it down. We're going to win this game, trying to cheer him up, right? Jonathan Gannon, the head coach, is livid, which he should be livid. But he walked over. He was giving the running back a piece of his mind. And the moment that he takes a step to step away, he punches in the stomach running back Amari DeMarcado. My question to Stephen Silton is this. Could an NFL player sue a coach for punching them, or I don't want to use the word assault. Maybe it is assault. But could that NFL player sue the coach for punching them during that game?
Yes, probably could sue the team as well. I mean, there is no assumption of the risk of getting hit on the sideline, right? He wasn't in the field to play, right? Like, the big question...
No, he was on the bench, yes.
Right? The big question actually is, and this goes back to Bountygate when, you know, that the NFC Championship game, right? Could a player like a Sidney Rice, who we all remember was seriously injured in that game, and was the guy who injured him was paid a bounty, could that be an assault, even though Sidney Rice actually assumed the risk of playing football? But this player did not assume a risk on sitting on the sideline. I mean, I would go a step further. I'm wondering if the attorney in Arizona is looking at this for a potential felony assault. I mean, you're not allowed to.
You're talking about the attorney general?
No, the county attorney.
Oh, the county attorney, okay.
Right? Who would be the charging. I mean, it that could be a criminal act. You're not allowed to hit somebody, right? I mean, you know, there's a little bit of kind of course of dealing here of kind of what, you know, is normal in football. I mean, we've all played, we both grew up playing football. We all had coaches that, you know.
And we know it's a violent sport.
And it's a violent sport. Yeah, and it's emotional. And sometimes coaches would put their hands on you in a physical way. You know, but this, you know, you showed me the clip in the break. I mean, that's not what occurred here. This was an actual punch. I mean, I think it's smart that the league's getting out in front of this, is fining him.
Well, he got fined by the team $100,000, I think.
Yeah, and I
actually said when this came up earlier, and I'm curious about your thoughts on here, I actually thought that he should have been suspended for a game.
You probably should have.
Because if it was the other way around, of course, if the player punched the coach, he's getting fined and suspended.
You would think so, for
sure. I mean, imagine if Antonio Brown punched Mike Tomlin.
Yeah.
He'd be cut. And quite frankly, I think what you're bringing up is assault charges. I think there would be assault charges.
I think there would be assault charges for sure. But, you know, this happens in sports more often, and it generally doesn't lead to assault charges. Remember when Draymond Green hit Jordan Poole? Remember when
That was player on player, which I think gets viewed differently.
But who is the he was a Edelman, right? Who hit?
No. You're talking about Latrell Sprewell and
PJ Carlissimo.
PJ Carlissimo, yes. So, you know, you've got these kind of volatile situations, and I think people allow it to play out in this situation in ways that you wouldn't in my profession. I mean, you know, I can't go in and hit the chairman of our law firm. Like, if I did that, he would de-equitize me, and it'd be the end of my legal career. You just can't do that. You know, it's an interesting kind of culture, right? But it's 2025. You just can't act like that. I mean, I think they're going to let it potentially cool down. Frankly, I'm surprised there hasn't been a lot more uproar on this, and there hasn't been.
Oh, it's been in the news the last couple of days.
Yeah, but if it continues to get momentum, that coach could wind up getting suspended. That coach could wind up, who knows? I mean,
I think we're past that. I don't think he's getting suspended. Well, it's Wednesday. If he hasn't been suspended by now, I don't think it's going to happen.
He should thank his lucky stars.
I think he should, too.
Yeah. I mean, I think these are one of these situations where the media, frankly, is determinative of his outcome.
But to be clear, if the player wanted to press the issue against his boss,
he could. Yeah, but that's always a bad idea.
A bad idea for the player,
right?
Yes. Like, because there's no winning there. Like, you're on the team.
This goes back to the Brian Flores lawsuit, right? Like, when you're in the middle of a career, which is pretty lucrative, right? You know, sometimes the lawyer has got to say, you know what, you've got a claim here. This is a colorable claim. Yes, when it came to Flores, I think we talked about this. You know, he was discriminated against. I don't think of a doubt. That being said, he was, 45 years old? He's going to be a coach in the league for a long time. I mean, I think the Vikings, in some respects, have been the beneficiary of him not getting that head coaching job that, frankly, I think he would have got if he would not have commenced that lawsuit.
Well, by the way, what the heck is a holdup? Like, how many years does it take to investigate all this stuff? With the Flores lawsuit.
Well, the lawsuits go on forever. That's not the holdup. That's the legal system.
I know. I'm just like, jeez.
I know. I mean, and
he's going to be like on his second job by the time this.
I know.
This
well, let's hope not. I mean, the good news is that, you know, we have the best defensive coordinator in the league, right? So, arguably. I don't think there's any argument. I think.
Really?
Who's better?
Defensive coordinator. I love Brian Flores. He's amazing. That's a good question. He might be. I mean, there's other good defenses out there.
I'm not saying that we have the best defense. I'm just saying that what he's able to do with whatever pieces you put in front of him.
That's a good point.
Right? He's the best defensive coordinator. He has almost a college coach's mentality as it comes to talent, which is he looks at his talent and he says, how am I going to scheme with this talent?
Well, he is the next man up guy. Like,
yes.
Van Ginkel gets hurt, next man up.
I mean,
anybody gets hurt, next man up.
I mean, look at his secondary. He's done this without really any.
Harrison Smith missed time.
Yeah.
No Cam Bynum. He moves on to Indianapolis. He's able to make a lot of things work.
Yeah. I mean, think about it. They spend two essentially high draft picks on secondaries. Both of them are complete busts, and he plugs the holes and just keeps playing, right? Like, there's no excuses. He's like, who knows if he, you know, will be as successful of a head coach as he is a coordinator, but I arguably, and we've had some great defensive coordinators, right? Tony Dungy, Mike Tomlin, those were defense coordinators.
For sure.
He might be the best the Vikings have ever had in some respects.
He might be. That's a great point.
Yeah.
All right, I want to ask you about this Mark Sanchez situation. So the former NFL quarterback and currently sports analyst for Fox Sports, he does NFL coverage. He was in Indianapolis, Indiana this past weekend, and he was supposed to be doing the game on Sunday. Well, Mark Sanchez didn't do the game on Sunday because he was laid up in a hospital after getting stabbed. So, and now has since been charged with multiple felonies.
Six felonies.
And it just, which is astonishing. So, there was a 69-year-old truck driver by the name of Perry Toll who was seriously injured in a fight that prosecutors say was started by Sanchez. On Monday, filed a lawsuit seeking unspecified amounts in actual and punitive damages, as well as attorney fees. The lawsuit accuses Sanchez of instigating a fight with Toll late Saturday night outside a downtown Indianapolis hotel, leading to, quote, severe permanent being disfigured, loss of function, and other injuries and emotional distress. Toll, after being assaulted, stabbed Sanchez several times in the fight, according to police. I've seen the pictures of Toll. He got beat up pretty good. He was covered in blood, slashes on his face. You could see, I don't know if you saw the video of Sanchez walking away from the incident down the street,
yes,
like holding himself, whatever, after being stabbed. So not only does Mark Sanchez, he was, I guess, at a bar. I don't know if he was just, if he was high at all, but he was drunk out of his mind. And he started a fight with a guy that was just, I guess he was delivering something. He was at a loading dock, whatever. And I don't, Mark Sanchez just was out of his mind. Just, he picked a fight with the wrong dude. So he ends up in the hospital with stab wounds. And he, I would think, is going to lose his job at Fox. But the reason why I wanted to bring this to your attention is because Mr. Toll has added Fox in the lawsuit. Why would Fox be involved in this lawsuit? I don't get it.
Yeah, a lot to unpack here, not the least of which is I think that Mark Sanchez was trying to do something so goofy and notorious to make us forget the butt fumble, right? Like, he's no longer going to be known as the butt fumble guy. He's now going to be known as the tried to beat up a 69-year-old and got your butt kicked guy, which, frankly, is probably an improvement for Mark. I mean, I can tell my jet lag is leading to a sense of humor tonight. I should come in a little more punchy more often. I'm getting Chris twice tonight. I love it. But in all seriousness, about the lawsuit, first off, I'm always dubious when these lawsuits come out so quickly, right? Like, good lawyers take their time. Before they file a lawsuit, they actually contact the other side. They try to, you know, because getting paid outside of litigation, if there's real damages, maximizes your recovery more often. Once you sue, essentially a lot of the air is deflated. And I don't know why you would name Fox News. I mean, Fox Sports.
I mean, I don't
get that's just bad lawyering. Like, it's just there's.
So sloppy. You think that Fox has nothing to be concerned
nothing,
about?
Nothing.
Like it's Sanchez that you have an issue with. It's not Fox.
I mean, I'm
trying to figure out what the rationale. Why would his attorneys add Fox in?
I don't know, because the attorneys are so excited they have, you know, a celebrity defendant, and you know they're just so excited, right? Like, you know, people lose their minds when it comes to athletes and celebrities, right? And they're super excited that Mark Sanchez is defendant, and I mean, on the couple of occasions when I actually had a claim against pro athletes, mm-hmm. the first thing you do is you call their agents, right? And the agents are usually, okay, what can we do, right? Like, what can I do to make this go away? Right. So Mark Sanchez has an agent who's handling his broadcasting and endorsement career, and he would have done anything to get rid of this. And by not doing that, they're minimizing
he's gonna
the
get
amount
fired,
of recovery.
Though.
Yeah. Well, for sure.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And for sure he's going to get fired. His broadcasting career is over. I mean, this guy, think about it. His broadcasting career ended on that. I mean, his pro football career, I mean, he was arguably.
He's lucky to be alive.
Yeah, I mean, right. I mean, he could have gotten killed on this whole thing. He got his butt kicked by a 69-year-old, too. I mean, and he, like, dragged him out of the car. I mean, the whole incident sounds just incredibly goofy. Yeah. I mean, I don't know what he was doing. You know, whenever I see anything that goofy, I always, the first thing I think of, and you know this, is CTE, right? Like, rational people don't make these decisions.
It's silly. All right, coming up next, we're going to talk about the evolution of international football games. The Vikings just played back-to-back weekends overseas. And, yes, Stephen Silton was there last weekend. We get to that next year on The Late Show. All right, Stephen Silton from Coles and O'Connor in studio. How many international games have you been to?
This is my fifth and sixth. I've been to every international game the Vikings have played.
So you went to the last two then, both this year or just one?
Went to two this year.
Oh, you went to both? Okay,
yeah,
so you
both
went to
of
both.
Them. Yeah, right. And then there were – I'm trying to think. There was the original one was at Wembley. Then there was the one at Twickenham. And then maybe just five. Then two at Tottenham and one at Croke Park. So five.
All right, so talk to me about the evolution of the NFL in these international games and just the football globally.
Well, I just think it's fascinating. One thing that I really observed this time is how educated and smart the UK crowds are when it comes to NFL football. When I went to the first game, which I think was about 10 years ago in Wembley, it was definitely kind of, you know, unique and an oddity, and the Brits just are fascinated by NFL football, but they didn't understand the game at all. You know, the big cheering came during extra points and field goals. They, at the time, they just loved any type of kicking. Obviously, their football. But they didn't understand kind of the intricacies of the game and essentially the game flow. And the cheering was very awkward. It was weird being at the game. When I was at Tottenham Stadium this year, first off, Tottenham is a full-on NFL stadium.
I mean, really?
It's gorgeous. It was built not only to play for the Hotspurs to play, but it was built for an NFL team. The sight lines are spectacular. The fan experience is just like, you know, any Class A NFL stadium. And the fans understand the game 100%. They are, you would believe you were in America watching a game. It's that good. And they understand the intricacies. They understand all the penalties and some of the vagaries that you really, you know, it's amazing how complicated of a game American football really is.
It is, yeah.
And they've got it. I mean, this is...
And the game is evolving, too.
Yes.
Yeah, people are getting used to, like, we had on Dean Blandino. He's the Fox Sports rules analyst. We had him on last night. I'm talking to him about the kickoff zone thing.
Yes.
That was something I had to get like into last year, and it grew on me.
Well, and they all play fantasy sports. They're all like, you speak to them, they all play fantasy sports, so they all understand everything about the game. I mean, England is ready for an NFL team, probably for two. I mean, I'm frankly surprised it hasn't happened yet, and I think it's going to happen in the near future, and okay. I think it'll be a great evolution to football. I think it'll be great having teams over there. I think it'll slowly but surely expand to the entire continent, but I think obviously, you know, England's the first place to start, and I think it'll be great. Obviously the Vikings are a fan favorite. Well over two-thirds of the fans at Tottenham Stadium were Vikings fans, even though they were technically the away team.
That's interesting.
Yeah. And the Vikings, of course, just put on a first class show. It was absolutely great. Dublin was a little different. Croke Park.
Yeah, tell me about that.
Yeah, Croke Park is a Gaelic football, which I think it's like the combination of rugby, you know, kind of a combination of rugby and NFL football. But the field itself is massive. It's like 25% bigger than an NFL football stadium. So the sight lines at Croke Park were not great. We had good seats, but we were still probably, you know, 100 yards away from the action. It wasn't great to see. I mean, you know, Dublin is a drinking town. The bars are really the pubs. The people are lovely. Some of the nicest people you will ever meet. I mean, it reminds me a lot of Wisconsin. I mean, Dublin's kind of the European Green Bay. Yes, Chris, it reminded me very much of Wisconsin. Every bar you're at, you talk to people and they're like, oh, you think this pub is great? There's another pub, you know, three blocks away you got to go to. And it was good. I don't need to run back to Dublin. But my daughter, as you know, lives in London as well. So it was great to see her.
I was going to say, what all did you guys do while you were there? You, your wife, your daughter. I mean, was there any shopping to be had or what?
We went to shopping.
Was it Harrods?
We did not go to Harrods. But
I've heard of it, never been.
Yeah, Harrods is amazing. It's, you know, the last of the huge, massive, multi-story retail stores. It's unbelievable.
What is there anything to compare it to over here?
It's like, I mean, my guess is it would have been like what Bergdorf Goodman would have been 30 years ago, right? It's got 8 stories, I believe. Every different story has a different kind of, you know, men's clothes, women's clothes. They've got a huge food court. I mean, the food court really, to me, is the best part of it. Everything else is so expensive. I mean, you see so many people. It's kind of like the mall for Europe is in some respects, but the Mall of America is here in the sense that you see, you know, these Middle Eastern families coming in with all their kind of bodyguards, and they're literally, you know, spending hundreds and hundreds and hundreds.
So I'm not getting a deal when I go there.
You are not getting a deal. The other thing we did is a very good friend and client out of New York, a movie producer who produced a play based on the Jimmy Cliff movie, The Harder They Come. And he launched his play in New York. It didn't make it to Broadway, but he's rewritten it and relaunched it in London. Again, it's called The Harder They Come. Anyone who goes to London should definitely see this in the next month. And it's getting rave reviews in London. I mean, huge. It's the talk of London. And we went to see that. It was spectacular. And that was great. And I mean, the whole experience, again, just spending time with my daughter, obviously. Yeah. She's considering she's run away from my wife and myself.
That's awesome.
But she's doing great. Pursuing a career in movies and making it happen.
So when's the last time she'd been home?
Well, she was here in April. My father-in-law actually retired from his teaching career at UMD Medical School, and my daughter came home to show up at his retirement party. She's coming for Thanksgiving, so I'm going to see her then.
Nice.
So we see her plenty. She's nice. It's all good. It's all good. I missed what I hear was unbelievable weather, 90 degrees on the weekend.
I wasn't here this past weekend. I was out of town. I was actually at an event. I got a chance to hang out with Dusty Baker, Jerry Manuel, Cito Gaston.
Cito Gaston?
Yeah.
What was this? This sounds exciting.
Unbelievable. It was an event that was put on by the Negro League Baseball Museum.
In Kansas City.
Uh-huh. And I'm blanking on who was the final person. Oh, Willie Randolph.
Willie Randolph.
It was amazing.
Well, the Negro League Museum in Kansas City is one of the coolest things I've ever been to, right?
It's like, awesome.
It's really...
The actual event was at the Sheraton Crown Center Hotel.
Okay.
Because there's renovations and there's a whole lot of construction around the museum. And, like, there's a big, massive project. The museum's about to... Like, they're doing a whole new museum.
Really?
Oh yeah, it's quite the work.
It's super impressive. And what amazed me was, you know, growing up, the Negro Leagues obviously were gone, right, by the time. But you know, I still watched players that played in the Negro Leagues. Like Ernie Banks started in the Negro Leagues. Fergie Jenkins played 2 years in the Negro Leagues. I mean, it's incredible. And we've talked about this, the fact that they finally essentially transported the stats from the Negro Leagues into baseball as a whole, I think, has really done justice to some of the greatest players in the history of baseball.
Guess who I sat next to at the table? Because so I was at the Major League Baseball Players Association table.
Yep.
I sat next to Satchel Paige's daughter.
No way.
I swear to you. Like, unbelievable. I sat next to his daughter. It was unbelievable. I'm living right, man. I'm living right. I got pictures here with Cito Gaston and Dusty
and Willie Randolph.
Those
were Yankee teams. The Willie Randolph Yankee teams were the height of the Yankees.
Cito, Willie, Dusty. I mean, I had
and
a blast.
Satchel Paige's daughter. How old was Satchel Paige when he pitched his last game in the major leagues?
Well, how old was he when he pitched his first? Because as they were talking about it, there was speculation that he might have been like close to 50 when he pitched his first game. 50? I'm dead serious.
And he played 15 years or so. So you're telling me he played into his 60s?
Well, that's quite the story there. But realistically, he was well into his 40s, they're saying. When they look back and they talk about, like, on his gravesite, his tombstone, there isn't a year in which he's born. It's only the year that he died.
I've got the greatest movie idea ever. Why wouldn't you do a sequel to The Field of Dreams with Negro League players that were never properly honored?
Well, I'm pretty sure there's probably been something done on the Negro Leagues. I mean, in terms of a movie.
Yeah, but
I don't know.
But Field of Dreams is a movie that could use a sequel. Well, one of the great baseball movies
ever.
Pitch
it to Spike Lee.
Man, well, I don't know. I've lost his phone number. Oh.
You never had it.
Never had it.
Coming up next. Hey, thank you, Matt, for being in the
studio.
Oh,
God. It's always great being here.
This has been fun. This has been a great conversation. Hey, and thank you so much for the information, the insight on the NFL player thing. Because that to me, I'm just like, man, that coach is lucky. He's lucky that he only ended up with a $100,000 fine.
Lucky. Very, 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 very lucky. You know what? as what is it, Dwight Eisenhower said, I'd rather be lucky than good.
Yes, he did say.
Yes.
Coming up next, one thing last night I did before I went to bed. I said a prayer for one particular person that I think is amazing. We get to that next year on the Late Show. Last night before I went to bed, I got down on my knees and I said a prayer for Dolly Parton. I enjoy Dolly Parton. She is a legend for all the right reasons. Not just because she's a phenomenal singer, entertainer, philanthropist. She cares about the world. She cares about people. And she is, I mean, she's been living right.
One of one.
One of one. And so there was some alarm that was caused by her younger sister. Her younger sister had put out on social media for everyone out there, Dolly's been feeling ill, not feeling well. She's been battling some stuff. Can you please send up a prayer? We believe in the power of prayer, okay? And I saw that, and I know that everybody around the world saw it, and I think that everybody around the world started to freak out. They're like, are we on the verge of losing Dolly Parton? I just think that that's initially how people perceived it.
Well, and that's that's natural.
Exactly. So she puts that out there. I'm like everybody else. I wasn't freaking out because, I don't know, it just kind of came out of nowhere. I don't know. I didn't freak out about it. But at the same time, I said, you know what, man? I love Dolly Parton. Met her one time just in passing at a radio station. I'm going to get down on my knees and send out a prayer for Dolly Parton. I'm a person of faith. I'm not like overly religious. I don't push religion on people. I believe in spirituality and all that stuff, whatever. But I just wanted to send up some good vibes and good thoughts to Dolly Parton. Well, earlier today, Dolly herself put together a video to try to calm people down with regards to how she was feeling and how she was doing.
Hey, Natalie, bring your camera over here. I want to say something. Well, today's October the 8th, and obviously I'm here doing some commercials for the Grand Ole Opry, which is why I'm dressed kind of like a country western girl. But before I got started, I wanted to say, I know lately everybody thinks that I am sicker than I am. Do I look sick to you? I'm working hard here. Anyway, I wanted to put everybody's mind at ease, those of you that seem to be real concerned, which I appreciate. And I appreciate your prayers because I'm a person of faith. I can always use the prayers for anything and everything. But I want you to know that I'm okay. I've got some problems, as I mentioned, back when my husband Carl was very sick. That was for a long time. And then when he passed, I didn't take care of myself. So I let a lot of things go that I should have been taking care of. So anyway, when I got around to it, the doctor said, we need to take care of this. We need to take care of that. Nothing major, but I did have to cancel some things so I could be closer to home, closer to Vanderbilt, you know, where I'm kind of having a few treatments here and there. But I wanted you to know that I'm not dying. Did you see that AI picture of Reba and me? Ooh, Lordy. I mean, they had Reba at my deathbed, and we both look like we need to be buried. And I thought, oh, my Lord, but if I was really dying, I don't think Reba would be the one at my deathbed. She might come visit me earlier, but anyway, there are just a lot of rumors flying around. But I figured if you heard it from me, you'd know that I was okay. So anyhow, that's what I wanted to say. And I'm not ready to die yet. I don't think God is through with me, and I ain't done working. So I love you for caring, and keep praying for me.
I love Dolly Parton. If you don't love Dolly Parton, something's wrong with you. I'm dead serious.
Yeah, that's you. That's a you thing.
I don't use that line a lot, but there are certain people on this earth, if you don't like them, you really need to evaluate your life. You need to look in the mirror. Something's wrong. If you don't like Dolly Parton, something's wrong with you.
She Yeah, the older I get, like...
How classy was that?
Very well.
And she didn't throw her sister under the bus either.
No, she didn't. She just, you know, made it... She just put it out there, and it's just 2 minutes of her, I think, just kind of riffing, saying, hey, I'm okay. You know, it's just normal procedural stuff. I think of Southern Belle. Like, that's kind of how I think of... And I know, you know, it's not like the, you know... South Carolina, you know, Georgia. I know she's out in the Memphis, Nashville area.
No, she's in Nashville.
She's in Nashville.
Yeah, Memphis ain't by Nashville.
That's true. That's true. It's Tennessee. I mean, yeah, geography.
What does that mean?
No good. I don't know.
Anything. Minnesota's not like Atlanta. It's the U.S.
I mean, well, is it a red state or a blue state? Because then I need to know if I can take it seriously.
Oh, man.
It's just really cool that she put that out for her fans.
Yep.
And the older
and she looked great in the video.
She
too.
Did. The older I get, the more I appreciate and respect Dolly Parton, the person. And you hear more and more stories. She's one of those individuals that you've never heard anybody say a bad word about. Like, everybody is rooting for Dolly Parton. And I think there are only a handful of people that I think you can say that about. Because everybody's got their detractors. I don't think Dolly Parton has any of those.
If she does... No,
she
probably has some out there. They're just idiots.
Oh, I'm sure she does, but you don't hear anybody publicly saying, I think Dolly Parton is an awful human being.
I would hope not.
Maybe I'm in my echo chamber.
How
that
could
I don't
you
hear.
Not love that woman?
You couldn't. You can't. For somebody that is as successful as she is, to have the amount of money that she has, and the amount of, like you said, the philanthropy that she does is off the chain, off the charts, the amount of charity and the time that she will give. It is absolutely, we're lucky to be living in a time that certain people are alive.
You know what I mean? Really are.
Because when I was a kid.
She's a living legend.
Oh, she is. Because when I was like younger, you know, she was known more for her physical appearance.
Yep.
And, you know, kind of the.
Aren't we all, though?
The butt of the joke. Well, not like that. Not like that.
Well, she was known for being like one of the all-time greats, but she also was viewed as just a sex symbol.
Yeah, well, that's just it. Like when I was younger, that's how I viewed her, because that's how I was taught as a young boy in rural Minnesota. This is, you know, now Dolly Parton wasn't cool, right? Like, listening to Dolly Parton wasn't cool.
But yes, it was.
Huh?
Yes, it was.
No, not where I was growing up.
Really?
No. 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 Listening to Dolly Parton.
Dolly Parton's been cool my entire life.
Well, I maybe for you. But when I was growing up, like, no, she wasn't cool at all. I mean,
what?
Listening. To, no, I no,
really?
I
really
no. She was never.
I'm shocked at that.
No, she was never perceived as being cool. Like, you listen to Dolly Parton, you're like, why are you listening to that old whiny country stuff? You know, you're going to listen to country. You're going to listen to the current stuff. You know, like the Garth Brooks or the George Strait. You know, thing like that. But as I get older, and I've developed my own tastes and my own likes, I now will listen to people. I don't necessarily have to be a big fan of the genre of music, but if I'm a fan of the person, that's where I'm going to be attracted to the music. If I don't like the person, it might be in the genre that I like, but I'm not going to like their music because I don't like what they stand for.
Yeah.
And maybe that's too simplistic, but it's like, if Dolly Parton comes on my radio, I'm definitely not going to turn it off. Because I appreciate her, and the way that I can show my respect to her is by listening to her music.
Yeah, I've always loved Dolly Parton. I'm not going to sit here and be like, as a young kid, Henry Lake was banging Dolly Parton music. But
thank you for putting music in there.
I knew your head was going to go there.
Well, you were the one that said it. I can't, I can't not say anything.
But I'm glad that I said a prayer for her last night, and I'm glad that she's doing well. Final segment of The Lake Show on a Wednesday. Coming up next. Ooh, man. The Yankees are about to be cooked. Oh, he almost hit him right in the face.
Yeah, he was aiming. He was aiming for that ear hole.
No. Ain't no my bad. They should eject that pitcher. That was on purpose, man.
Yeah, yeah.
Who was that pitching?
I don't know.
Doyle? No, he's out. The Yankees are pulling him. That was. You know, a lot of times you can't really tell if one gets away. That looked like a purpose pitch. And he almost hit. Who was the batter?
Ernie Clement.
Yeah, he almost got beamed in the face.
Yeah, Clement. Oof. Yeah, it's a right-handed pitcher and a right-handed hitter. And the
Doval,
Camilo Doval. Yes, a right-hander is in, and the Blue Jays just added on. They're up 5-1.
5-1. The Yankees are cooked.
Yankees are done. Yankees are toast. Go home, Yankees. Get out of our baseball TVs, because we got to watch good baseball. But no, Duvall gave up a base hit, and then immediately Clement, a right-handed hitter, Duvall went up. Clement had to kind of turn to the outside, elevated his left shoulder, and the ball hit him in the left shoulder. If he didn't elevate his left shoulder, yeah, it would have gone straight for the ear hole. That was an intentional pitch.
That's scary, dude. That is scary.
Oof. Yeah.
Ouch. Luckily, he did get hit. He didn't get hit in the face. He got hit, like, in the top of the shoulder.
Yeah.
And so he's on first base. But right now, as it stands, people, the Yankees are on the verge of being cooked. They trail 5-1, top of the eighth. Toronto still batting, one out, two men on. Toronto wins tonight. Series is over.
Yes.
And
good for them.
And the Dodgers have just taken a 1-0 lead in their game 3 against the Phillies.
Yeah. And the Brewers and the Cubs, I think the
Cubs got on the ball. 4-3
yeah.
They won.
Yeah, Cubs stayed alive. The Tigers kind of took it to Seattle today. So that's
And they were trailing 3-0 at the end of that game.
And that series is now tied at 2, I believe. And then that's going to go back to Seattle.
Yeah, they're tied at 2 apiece. Yep.
Man, this is...
And Scooble's on the mound.
Scooble's on the mound. Well, I mean, the last time they were...
They keep beating him, though.
Yeah, I mean, Polanco homered twice off him.
Trust me, I won money on making a bet against Scooble.
See? Are you going to bet against him again?
I'll have to take a look and see what the odds are.
Let it ride, man. Let it ride.
Because, you know, there are certain states where you can legally wager. Unfortunately, mm-hmm. Minnesota is not one
of
them.
Not one of them?
Get it done, man.
I mean,
gosh.
For a very progressive claiming state, there are some things where we are just kind of backwards. I mean, you think about it, it took us...
I don't get it.
I mean, it's 3-2 beer, then beer on Sundays, the whole, you know, THC cannabis thing, that has been an absolute mess trying to get that figured out. Yeah, we are we claim to be very progressive, but yet sports gambling is something that you can do pretty much anywhere in a ton of different books, but not here. Go figure.
I just don't get it.
Yeah, I don't either. You would have thought, I mean, how long has that been a thing at the state legislature? It's been a long, I mean, it seems like it's a thing for like each of the past, 10 years? I mean, since I've been back,
mm-hmm.
6 years, because we moved back in 19, I know it's been a thing. And I think it was a thing well before then, even before when we were living in Sioux Falls, it was like we could gamble in South Dakota, but we couldn't do anything in Minnesota.
Between Toronto and Seattle, who would you root for?
Oh, boy. I'd probably say Seattle because they've never been to a World Series. So I think it would be great.
I'm definitely on the Seattle bandwagon. Yeah.
I mean, either way, I am not going to be disappointed with either Seattle or Toronto. I'll be happy with either one of those. I would cheer for either one of those teams over whatever comes out of the National League.
Oh, I'm still rooting for the Dodgers. I don't care.
Sounds about right. You and your front runners. Those poor underdog L.A. fans. I mean, they've got it so
it
tough.
It has nothing to do with it.
I mean, those L.A. fans, I mean, they just...
Love me some Shohei.
They have not...
Mookie?
I know. Those poor guys, man. It's just... I hope something good happens for those Dodger fans out there.
Clayton Kershaw.
I know. You sounded like Jennifer Coolidge there. Clayton Kershaw. You know, my daughter does a really good Jennifer Coolidge impression. Like, really good. I do it, and it's not so much.
All right, that's going to wrap up the show.
Wonder if she's a Dodger fan.
I'll talk to you guys tomorrow night. Chris is off. J-Lo is going to be in the building with me. Full show. Talk to you guys at 6.